Perigimel, Pasuk. We'll start Yud Aleph just quickly to get into it, and then it's on page
302.
Are you guys coming tonight?
Who?
Your gang.
John and Luita? Yeah. Calling?
No, are they coming? I don't know. It's too early anyway. Okay, basically, Moshe Rabbeinu is arguing with Hashem. Hashem is saying to him, take off your shoes, it's a holy place. And Hashem is starting to tell Moshe Rabbeinu that I'm hearing all the problems of the Jews, and therefore, bottom line, I'm sending you to the Eden to take them out of Mitzrayim. I'm sending you to Pari. So in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, V'yemer Moshe Elohim, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, Mi'anechu am I, ke'elech al Pari, that I should go to Pari. And V'chiyetzi is B'nei Yisrael, Meretz Mitzrayim. And why am I worthy of taking the Jews, and that I should take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. So there's an argument here between the Mefarshim. Rashi learns that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying two things. First of all, who am I? I'm nobody, so why are you sending me? And secondly, the Jews are not worthy of being taken out of Egypt. That's what the way Rashi learns. And that's why the Jews deserve a miracle that should be taken out of Mitzrayim. The Kli Yakar learns a little bit differently. He says Moshe Rabbeinu was modest. So Moshe Rabbeinu says two things. First of all, who am I that I should send? And secondly, who am I that the Jews should be taken out because of me from Mitzrayim? So according to the Kli Yakar, both things Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, so to speak, against himself. He says, if you want to send somebody already, send people that are great. Who's going to be, you know, as modest you saw on the country, because the Jews are so great, who am I to take them out of Mitzrayim? Rashi learns just the opposite. The Jews don't deserve to go out of Mitzrayim. And Kli Yakar learned it to be first to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, where do we learn the halacha that when somebody asks you to daven for the daven, you're supposed to turn it down three times or something?
You learn from this or Yamu? If it says three times, the Gemara says you turn down the person. In last week's Parsha, we also learned it out. That when, well, over there is the difference between refusing a great person and refusing not such a great person. When Avram said to the Malachim, come into my house, they said, okay. When Light said to the angels, come to my house, he started arguing with them, no, until he nudged them, and then they came, right? So Rashi says, from here learn out that to a great person, you're not allowed to refuse, but to not such a great person, you should refuse. The same thing, I mean, we learned it out from Moshe Rabbeinu also, by the way, about the davening. Because if the Chazan is representing the Bnei Yisrael, he's the Shliach. Right. So a person shouldn't think that he's worthy of representing the minion, so he should refuse. But after they tell him, come on, so then you don't want the minion to wait, so then he's supposed to do it. But a lot of people say it doesn't apply, like if you have set Chazanim, or, you know, a person is a Chiyuv, or whatever. So it's like, you know, what, are you going to play a game? Yeah, you know, I mean, just do what you have to do. Okay, so this is where we're up to. Vayemer Hashem said to him as follows, Kiyay Yimach, I will be with you. So in other words, this is what you're saying, that who are you to send the Jew, take the Jews out of Mitzrayim? Hashem says, it's not you, it's me. I'm going to be with you. V'zelecho ha'is, and this is the proof and the sign, Asher ki'anech shlachticha, that I'm sending you. And he says, what is the sign? In other words, it's not a sign for the present, it's a sign for the future. Moshe Rabbeinu said, what merits did the Jews have to go out of Egypt? So Hashem says, the merit is not what they have now. The merit is what they're going to be doing when they go out. Meaning, Beitziach HaSa'am in Mitzrayim, when you take the nation out of Mitzrayim, Ha'am, Tavdun HaSolokim Alahar HaZeh, they will serve God on this mountain. So Hashem is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're asking me what merit do they have to go out. The merit they have to go out is the fact that they're going to receive the Torah on the Har Sinai. It's a very interesting expression, and it's really a Kli Yakar later on in Parshas B'Shalach. The Torah over here is going back and forth between Bnei Yisrael and the word Ha'am. In Pasuk Yud, it says, and Yud Aleph, it says, V'heitzi es ami Bnei Yisrael mi'mitzrayim, and then it says, V'chi'eitzi es Bnei Yisrael mi'mitzrayim, the Jews. And in this pasuk it says, when you take the nation out of Egypt. Why sometimes it's going back and forth between the Bnei Yisrael and Ha'am? Says the Klei Yoker later on in Beshalach that says a remarkable thing. He says at the beginning of Beshalach, the Torah says, V'hi Beshalach Pari Es Ha'am, the nation, Pen Yinochim Ha'am, again the nation, V'yasev Elokim Es Ha'am, the nation, and then it says, V'chamushim Olu Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, and he went out armed. So the Torah, beginning of Beshalach, three times calls him the nation, the nation, the nation. And the fourth time, he calls him the Bnei Yisrael. So like over here, he's going Bnei Yisrael, and sometimes they're Ha'am. So the Klei Yoker later in Beshalach explains a very interesting thing. He says, Ha'am doesn't refer to the Jews. Ha'am refers to the Eid of Rav, to the multitudes of Egyptians that went out. When did the people become Bnei Yisrael? When they got the Torah. And that's why in Parshat Beshalach, it says, V'chamushim olu Bnei Yisrael. He learns the word chamushim means armed. Chamushim means a chumash. Because it's five. Chumash. He says, Rashi says over there, it means one-fifth of the Jewish population left Egypt. But the Klei Yoker learns, V'chamushim, once they got the Chumash, they got the Torah, all the Bnei Yisrael, then they became the Bnei Yisrael. Until then, they were the nation. So Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu over here the same thing. When you take the the nation out of Mitzrayim, now the Taka don't have any schusim. Now they don't have any merits. What's the merit they'll have? That Tavdun Asalukim, that they will become a nation that serves God. And the Rebbe explained this pasuk. We mentioned this many times. It's an unbelievable concept. The Rebbe asked the question, if the Jewish nation is being born as a nation, why does it say the word Tavdun? Tavdun means Eved. The root of Tavdun means Eved, which is a slave. Basically, Hashem says, you're going to be my slaves. You know, you love somebody, you don't say, you love your kid, okay, you're going to be my slave. I mean, is that what you tell? Right. You don't tell somebody you love, hey, you're going to be my slave. It's that's not nice. What page are we up to? Page 300. 305, I'm sorry. 304, 305, whatever. He says, why does the pasuk use the expression, Tavdun es Elokim, you're going to become God's slaves, on Har Sinai? What type of expression is this? You're going to become a slave. The same thing you find in many different places. At the beginning of Chumash, right after Hashem created Adam and Chava, it says in the pasuk, "Vayenicheu beGan Eden," God put Adam and Eve in Gan Eden, la'avda, to work, u'lishama, to watch the garden. What does la'avda mean? Evet, slavery. The first. Like speak, Shalom Aleichem, Adam, I created you and become a slave. It's not nice. I mean, you don't do that with your kids. In Eiv, there's a pasuk, Adam la'amul yivoled, a person was born to work. What type of concept is this that Hashem is making mankind? He says, the first thing I want you to know is la'av, they're going to be a slave. Jews are becoming a nation. The first thing Hashem says to him, Tavdu nesalakim, you're going to become my slaves. And Har Sinai. What type of thing is this?
Isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah, but why is it? That's what it's all about? In other words, obviously, there's a concept of an Eved that is a unique accomplishment that it's worth whatever you do. So the Rebbe explained this as follows. The accomplishment of mankind when God created Adam and Chava, the accomplishment of Jews as a nation is, and I'll explain what I'm saying, but just to use the words, that from creation we become creator. When a person works and has a job that makes $1 million a week, it's a lot of money, but it's still limited. It's only a million times one. If you make $1 a week or $1 million a week, it's only 1 million times the amount, but it's all within the same realm of limitation. creation is limited, creator is unlimited. When a Jew does mitzvahs, and Adam Rish was told this also as mankind, when mankind, Jews, do what they're supposed to be doing, they become a partner with Hashem in creation. The Gemara many times uses the expression that when we do mitzvahs, we say Vayechulu Friday night, there are the various different things. It says you become Shutef LaKadosh Baruch Hu B'maisa Bereishis, you become a partner with God in creation. The definition of a partner is equal. Definition of a partner, both legally and according to Halacha, a partner means we are 50-50. Nobody can boss the other one around. You're both equal. When a Jew becomes a partner with God in creation, what type of expression is this in the Gemara, that you become a partner with God in creation? The answer is, because, so to speak, you become an equal with God in creation. When a Jew does a mitzvah, like it says, I'm taking you out to serve God on this mountain, on Har Sinai, what it means is, you will become my partner, my equal in creation. So no matter how hard you're working, it's nothing compared to the accomplishment. Because it's not an accomplishment of a million times, a billion times. It's an accomplishment of infinite times. So if you tell somebody that, listen, you're going to work a little bit or a lot, and through this you're going to become from finite, infinite, you're going to become from limited, unlimited, you're going to become from person, you're going to become God. It's an unbelievable accomplishment. That is really what an eved, a slave, is. The Gemara says, Yad eved ki yad rabbi, the hand of a slave is really the hand of the master. And according to Halacha, when a slave, let's say, walks in the street and finds something, the master gets it. And it's not that the servant gets it, and then the Torah says, give it to the master. According to Allah, when a slave finds something, it goes straight to the master, because he's not a separate entity. All he is the existence of the master. And this you see, if you follow the Torah reading this coming Shabbos, when, I've only mentioned this many times by Fabrengis and stuff, when Avraham Avinu is sending Eliezer to find a shidduch for Rivka. Okay? Nowhere in Chumash, add to the world's population. Add to the world's population. Nowhere in Chumash does it say his name. If you look in this week's parsha, when Avram is sending, if Avram Zakim Baba Yamim, he calls him Avdei Zakan Beisei. He calls him his Eved. The Eved swore, the Eved went, the Eved spoke, the Eved gave. It doesn't even say his name. We don't even know who the guy is. His name's Eliezer. The Medrash says, who is it? Actually, his name was Eliezer. But he's nameless. Why? Eliezer starts speaking. What does he say? He opens up his mouth to speak, to make the shidduch pitch. He says, Eved Avram Anechi. I am the servant of Avram. He doesn't say, I'm Eliezer, the servant of Avram, because that would mean he's a person who is a slave. All he says is, I am Eved Avram, I'm a non-existent entity. I am the existence of my master. I'm nothing but my master. I'll give you an example in Halacha. If you support a kid over by mitzvah, okay, and they find something in the street, halachically, the parents get it. Just for you, the father gets it, not the mother. That's for you. The father gets it. Why does the father get it? L'cheder, the kid's over bar bas mitzvah. You know, why shouldn't they be able to keep it? So it says, listen, be a mensch. Your parents support you. They take care of you. Whatever. You live at home. You find something, it should only go to them. Over there, the halacha is, it doesn't go straight to the parents. The kid acquires it. And then Halacha says, I'll give it to the parents. When a slave, finds something in the street, the Gemara says, it goes straight to the master. Because the slave is a non-existent entity, all he is the existence of the master. So in this pasuk, in pasuk Yud Beis says, "Beitziach asa'ami Mitzrayim." Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, when I'm taking the Jews out of Egypt, when you take the Jews out of Egypt, Tavdun esolikim alahara, that what's the Har Sinai going to accomplish? That the Jews become God's slaves. What does it mean, God's slaves? Not in the negative way, slave master. That they become God's slaves means that they become the existence of God, God's partner. So this is the greatest accomplishment that a human being can ever dream of. The greatest dream, expectation that a human could dream is that he becomes godly. He becomes God's partner.
So one time his slave is, the human is slave, and the other time his partner. Why is it bias here? I mean, you just...
Certain things, there are different levels. There's a level of a Jew becoming God's partner. There's a level of a Jew becoming God's slave. There's different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Each one has an advantage over the next. In the relationship between Hashem and the Jews, you find, if you look throughout Torah, throughout Tanakh, throughout Midrashim, we are God's children, we are God's servants, we are God's wife, right? We are God's sister, we are God's mother. Well,
right.
Bride, what's a wife? We have a lot of different relations. So the question is, if you're a sister, you can't be a wife. And if you're a child, you can't be a slave. Right? So what exactly are we? So the answer is, each one of them has a certain uniqueness that the other one doesn't have. The Jews in their relationship with Hashem have all the uniquenesses. We are God's partner. There's an advantage over a partner over a slave. A slave, you have no opinion.
Exactly.
And a partner has an opinion. A child is a certain relationship of love, but they don't have the subservience, the bittul, that a nevet has. But they have a different advantage of the love. So, in the relationship between the Jew and Hashem, we have all the advantages. We have the advantage of being a slave, that we are one existence with the master. We have an advantage of being a partner, we have a say in the matter. We have an advantage of being God's children, that He loves us, and we're the essence, the child is the essence of the parent. We have any advantage that you want, we have it. So here, Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, when you take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, Tavdun HaSolokim HaRazim. So Hashem is answering Moshe Rabbeinu's question. Moshe Rabbeinu says, who am I to take the Jews out of Egypt? Hashem says to him, listen, Kiyaya Imach, I'm with you. What do you mean you're going? You're nobody. You say you're nobody, I agree with you. I'm going with you, so it's not you. What are you afraid of? And secondly, you're telling me, what merit did the Jews have to go out of Egypt? The way Rashi learns. So Hashem says, what do you mean a merit? They don't have any present merits. But look at the merit they're going to be getting. Yeah. All of them. Torah, when a Jew davens, davening is not lies, correct? I mean, that's the given.
Right.
Do you know how many times in davening we say Avinu Malkeinu? We say Beitachnu. We say before Shema, Avinu Malkeinu, right? Now, Avinu means our father. Malkeinu means our king. You can't be a king over your own kids. Okay? If we're servants, we're not kids. If we're kids, we're not servants. What do we say, Avinu Malkeinu? Davening says, we say Avinu Malkeinu. So Hashem is saying, I am your father, right? And I am your king. Which one are we? We're both. It's not some people say Avinu, and some people say Malkeinu. Every Jew has all the advantages. Matan Torah was the wedding between Hashem and the Jews, correct? The Chasana. You marry, not in Calvary, but normally you marry, a man marries a woman. Right? Today's was a little different.
In the olden times,
right. And when the Chumash was given, a man married a woman, correct? So Torah says, Torah is truth. Torah is not Baba Mises. Torah is making fantasies. Torah is saying, we are God's wife. You can't be God's wife and God's kid, son, or daughter, and God's servant at the same time. The answer is, we are. Take the same thing with Torah. Torah sometimes is likened to water. Sometimes Torah is likened to fire. Sometimes Torah is likened to bread. Right? We learned already in the past. Concerning Torah, we find these Torah is bread, Torah is mayim, Torah is eish. Okay? All these things. Then you have another concept. Torah is gift. Nosin ha-Torah. Right? V'nosan lanu ha-Torah. So he gave us matana. Torah is Yerusha. Torah tivalanu meisha merasha. Kehilas Yaakov. It's a Yerusha. And then Torah, it says, is ki lekach tev nasati lachem. I sold you a good deal. I gave you a good deal. Don't forsake my Torah. I can't sell you something and give you the same thing at the same time. It's impossible. I can't sell you the Chumash and give you the Chumash at the same time. Right? And if I give it to you, it's not an inheritance and it's not a gift. So how could Torah be gift and selling and inheritance? And it's the same book. The answer is, Torah has the advantage of all three. There's an advantage in inheritance, there's an advantage of giving, there's an advantage of buying.
I guess what I'm just going to ask is that also, when you say Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and you said, why do we say that? It's because each one had its own
unique relationship with Hashem.
With Hashem. So I'm saying in terms of...
We have all of them, though.
We have all of them.
Yeah.
Avram
had a unique relationship, Yitzchak had a unique relationship, Yaakov did. We have all three.
We have all.
We have Avram's relationship, and Yitzchak's relationship, and Yaakov's relationship. We have everything.
Or is it possible that because they have one more than the other?
No, that's only by the Shvatim.
On the individual level?
As far as you can... You have all three, you can... choose to emphasize in your own personal life either Avram's attribute of chesed, Yitzchak's attribute of gevura, or Yaakov, but we all have it within us. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, we don't have all of them. That's why there's only three patriarchs and the 12 Shvatim are not counted. Because the people that came from Reuven have only Reuven's way of serving God. The people that came from Shimon have Shimon's way of serving God. Levi is Levi's way of serving God. But everybody, and therefore Reuven doesn't have Shimon's way, and Shimon doesn't have Reuven's way. But we all have Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov's way.
So they also have Avraham Yitzchak.
Sure, but the Jews know. For instance, Reuven's way of serving God, why was he called Reuven? Because Re'iyah, seeing. Shimon is Shama, to hear, to understand. There's a level of serving God with seeing. There's a level of serving God with understanding. You know, different Jews have different ways. But the obvious, yeah, but you're right. A person can emphasize more the Ava attribute, but we have a Neshama that has Ava and Yira and Rachmanis. We have Chesed, Gvura, and Teferes. Why? Because we are all descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He was completely bottled to Hashem.
He was completely bottled.
Right.
So, I mean, let's say, I mean, it doesn't mean that all Klal Yisrael are completely bottled to Hashem, or just Moshe?
We have the potential to be bottled. But I'll tell you a little secret, don't tell anybody. Most of us do sins once in a while. When you do a sin, you're not Eved Hashem. Right? You can't be bottled to Hashem at the time you're going against Hashem. Meish Rabbeinu, to use modern day language, 24/7 was Batul Tashem.
Right. So that's what Hashem's intention was when he says, I'm never going to come back.
There's another aspect of it. Meish Rabbeinu was a different level of an Eved than we are as an Eved. For instance, When we do a mitzvah, at the time we do a mitzvah, we are Eved Hashem. We are Batul to Hashem. So Hashem's servant, meaning Bittul. Now, you have two types of Eved. In Samach Vav, there's a whole famous Maimer, Mikne Rav, discussing this, a real famous Maimer. There's Eved Pashut and Eved Neman. It's really a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. But there's two levels. For instance, let's say I'm your boss, yeah? So you're bottle to me. Or else you don't have a job, right? No. I tell you to do something. Or not even a boss and a worker. An Eved that's bought by the master, you know, he owns the Eved, yeah? The master says to the Eved, do this. The Eved, in his mind, was thinking, hey, no, I really don't want to do this. But you're going to do it anyway. Why will the Eved do it anyway? Because an Eved has to listen to the master. If not, either you get fired, or you get beat up as if you're a slave. Right? But he has really his own desires, his own wants, but he's mevatel, his will, for what the master wants. There's a deeper level of an Eved. He's so dedicated to the master that if the master wants it, he wants it. It's a much higher level. Not that I have my own will, really. I don't agree with the master. I don't think he should be doing it this way. I think he should be doing it a different way, but he's the boss, I'm the worker. You know, I gotta buckle under. Meshe Rabbeinu, as the Pasuk says in Balei Yitzchak, ki b'chol beisi neman hu, was called Eved Neman. Meshe Rabbeinu was so dedicated to Hashem, if Hashem wanted it, he wanted it. Unlike even Eliezer.
Hashem.
One second. Even in Eliezer. Eliezer's Rashi says, Eliezer had a daughter. And he really wanted Yitzchak to marry that girl. But Avram says to him, listen, Baichik, forget it. Pleasant dreams. You know, you're from Canaan, you're cursed, and my kid's blessed, and cursed ain't marrying blessed ain't marrying the cursed, right? So what did he do? He sent them on a mission. Complete bittul, like we said, he didn't even say his name. Yeah? But he wasn't Eved Neman. He wasn't, if Avram wanted it, that's what he wanted. Because he didn't want what Avram wanted. He really wanted that Yitzchak should marry his daughter. So that's the level of Eved Poshet. Eved Neman is a higher level. He wants it. That's what I want. Period. By the way, there's an advantage of the lower level. Where do you have more bittul? Where are you breaking yourself more?
The lower level.
The lower level.
Yes, sir, because you don't want it.
Right. And you're still doing it. Mm-hmm. So the difference in Tanya between a tzaddik and a beinoni. A tzaddik is a higher level than a beinoni because a tzaddik kills the yetzer hara, he doesn't have a yetzer hara. A beinoni has a yetzer hara, right? And he's fighting and fighting and fighting. So who's a higher level? A tzaddik. Whose bittul is greater? The beinoni. He's fighting his yetzer hara. The tzaddik is not even fighting. He doesn't have a yetzer hara to fight. Over here, the Pasuk is saying, "Beitzirah sami Mitzrayim tavdu nesalukim." Nullification, subservience, nothingness, subjugating oneself to a higher authority.
I can understand it towards God, but I don't really accept it towards man to man.
What do you mean, man to man?
Means
One minute.
Brings a lot of.
One second. A boss and a boss and a worker. The worker is not bottled to the boss?
Doesn't pass by being a bitter.
Sure he does. No, you do what you want, you do what the boss wants.
But you don't do it because, first of all, the level of marrying what the boss wants because it's the boss, this is a level that is higher. Is it true or not?
Well, marrying the boss?
Marrying the ideas of the boss. Engaging the idea of the boss.
Any boss and a worker? There's a level of bittul.
The slave and the master.
It's also a level of bittul. Parent and child is a level of bittul. One second. Parent and child is a level. Hello? Parent and child is a level of bittul. Does your kid always want to do what you tell him to do?
Putting love in the middle. master and the slave, there's not necessarily
there is no love.
But between a child and a father, there is love.
So there's both.
I don't
there's
do it because of a bitul. I do it because I love my father.
Not always.
Most of the time.
No, they love they love the father and mother. Yes, they do.
Yes, I'm saying.
But they don't do it because out of love, because they do it because, or else.
Well, finally, if they do it, it's really sometimes because...
And sometimes they do it because, or else.
Okay, if they do it because of else, they will be sinning.
Kids don't clean up their room because they love the parents. They clean up the room, if you're lucky, because of the consequences if they don't.
Okay, but the kid is a
that's
kid.
Bittle.
Needs to be educated.
Teenagers. Teenagers.
Yeah, okay. But here you're bringing home European philosophy about the master and the slave, that we are completely against it when we make tshuva, really, because the master and the slave is completely the idea of the cycle that never ends, the perpetrator and the abused.
It's not abused. We are in avodim in davening. We quote in Tillim. We say in davening we
to
are
God,
Hashem's
to God, not
right.
To
of course, we're not so avodayim v'lo yavdi pari. Hashem says
on the level of God, but on man to man, it's hard for me to understand.
Have you ever had a job?
Sorry,
have you ever had a job?
Yes, I did. In fact,
did you listen to your boss?
Not always.
And you still have a job?
If I have something that I don't like, I tell him.
And then?
And then, if he appreciates.
And if he says to you,
if
he says to you, I'm the boss, this is the way I want it done.
It doesn't mean I.
Are you going to do it?
I may do it because of the money.
That's bittul. That's bittul.
But the bittul that you spoke about was not that. The bittul was the idea of marrying the idea of a person because he's a great person. That's what you say. Eliezer knew that Avraham was a great person. He wasn't just doing this because of a boss and a pay.
Yes, he was.
Well, he also knew.
But
he
didn't
want to get Eden because of his bittul.
After.
And
because
and
of
alive,
the bit.
And alive.
Because of the bittul.
Because he also loved Avraham. He saw the godliness in him.
He didn't love him. He was his servant.
You can't love your master.
Not very often. It's not the emphasis of love, it's the emphasis of bittul.
Okay,
let's go further. Vayemet. Okay, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayemet Meisho Alekim. So Meisho says to Hashem, listen. God, let's get real, so to speak, yeah? He says, Hinei Anechi Baal Bnei Yisrael, I'm going to come to the Eden. I'm going to say to them, listen. The God of your father sent me. And they're going to ask me, what's your name? What should I say to them? He says, in practice, I'm going to come to the Jews. They're going to say, you have to understand, because the Medrash explains that the name of God they knew. The Zakenim of the generation knew it. But Moshe Rabbeinu left Egypt when he was young. So, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come back to the elders, because Hashem is telling him, go get the elders of the Jews. The elders of the Jews are going to say, hey kid, who are you? You know, where are you coming from? They're going to ask me, what's God's name? You want to take the Jews out of Egypt as God's messenger. Do you even know what his name is? So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Hashem, I never learned God's name. I never learned your name. The elders of the generation do know God's name. In fact, the Baal Turim says an interesting thing. If you look at the words, V'amru li, Ma Shmei Ma Li ends with a Yud, Ma ends with a Hey, Shmei ends with a Vav, and Ma ends with a Hey. Tzidkei Vavkei. Moshe Rabbeinu saying to Hashem, the Baal Turim says, you know, tell me this Tzidkei Vavkei stuff. You know, I got to know what to tell these people. So it says, Yemer Lekim O Moshe. So Hashem said to Moshe as follows. Eya Asher Eya. He just saying, I is who I is. I am who I am. Vayemen, he said, Kaysem el Vnei Yisrael, this is what you should tell the Jews. Eya Shlochani Aleichem. That Eya, or Eke, whichever way you pronounce it, is sending you. Now what does this mean? It means as follows. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Eya Asher Eya. What does Eya Asher Eya mean? I will be with them in this problem, in this galus. I will be with them in the next galus. Okay? And right away, by the way, God changes it. Yeah, Hashem starts off the pasuk by saying, "Vayemer Elokim Amesha Eya Asher Eya." I am who I am. A half a line later, it says, "Kaisemer Levnei Yisrael Eya Shlachani Aleichem." He starts off with Eya Asher Eya, and he ends off with Eya. So simply, Rashi explained, it means that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "I am in the, with the Jews in this galus. I am with the Jews in future galus." So Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, let's deal with the problem now. Don't tell me about, you're telling the Jews already about the next Golus. Forget it. Let's deal with it now. So Hashem said to him, you're right. Not that God forbid, like it says, not God forbid that Hashem didn't understand that. But Hashem wanted it to come from Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a very famous story with Eya Sheeya. After the Mittal Rebbe passed away, after the Alter Rebbe's son passed away, the second Lubavitcher Rebbe passed away, so the Chassidim didn't know where they should go. Who should they accept as the next Rebbe? So some of them went to the Heilige Ruzhiner. He went to the Bisol Ruzhiner, who was very close at that time with the Lubavitch dynasty. And the Chassidim went to him, and he understood why the Chassidim were coming to him, because they wanted to see if they should pick him as a Rebbe, and it was Parsha Shmeis. So he said a Torah, when he was speaking, he said a Torah on the Pasuk, on this Pasuk, and he said, Eya Asher Eya, and he said to them the following, Eya equals 21. Aleph, Hey, Yud, Hey, is 21. Eya Asher Eya is 21 times 21. This is what he said. Eya Asher Eya is 21 times 21 is 441. And he said, that is the numerical value of the word MS. MS equals 441. And he said, MS stands for Tetes Menachem MS, which the Tzemach Tzedek's name was Menachem Mendel. So the Ruzhiner, his name was Ribisro Ruzhiner. So he tells the Chassidim, Eya Asher Eya means 21 times 21, 441, which equals MS. MS, Aleph, Mem, Sof, backwards is Tadas, Menachem, MS. He said, he told the Chassidim, go back to the Tzemach Tzedek and accept him as your Rebbe. They went back to the Tzemach Tzedek. It was already after Shabbos. And the Chassidim there by the Tzemach Tzedek said that the Tzemach Tzedek said a Tadah on this Pasuk. And Eya Asher Eya. And he said, 21 times 21 equals 41, 441, which is the numerical value of Emes. But he didn't finish Teres Menachem Emes. He just said, it equals Emes. And that was it. But the Tzemach Tzedek said the same Teres that the Ruzhiner told them, but the Ruzhiner finished by saying it's Teres Menachem Emes. And the Tzemach Tzedek didn't finish it. So the Chassidim understood that they have to pick the Chassidim understood that they have to pick the Tzemach Tzedek as their Rebbe. But Hashem basically is telling him, and the Mefarshim explain over here this whole concept of Eya is basically the Eibishter being with them whenever they need them. And that's what he says. The Jews knew. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to know the Shema Mefeirish. So he says, Hashem said as follows. And this is because the Cheda, Eya Asher Eya, is not the name of God. It's not the name of God. It's I am with them now and I will be with them later. So how did he answer them? So Hashem, the different answers over here, Hashem basically said to him, it's not relevant to know what my name is. What's important for the Jews to know is I'm with them. In a deeper level, it means the level of Hashem that's with the Jews is higher than names. The concept of a name, like we learned many times, is the way you associate with somebody else. If you're yourself in the world, you don't need a name. If you're the only person in the world, you don't need a name. For yourself, you don't need a name. You need a name for somebody to speak about you, to call you. The way you identify, to be identified with somebody else, you need a name. But yourself, you don't need a name. All the names of Hashem, the seven non-erasable names of Hashem, it's called the seven Shem Hashanim Nimchokim, are all corresponding with the seven Midas of Hashem. In fact, the Medrash over here says that when Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, what's your name? Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you want to know my name? Depends what I'm doing that day. When I'm doing kindness, I'm called Kel. When I'm punishing the wicked, I'm called Elokim. When I do Rachmanis, I'm called Yudke Vavke. When I'm limiting things, I'm called Shaddai. When I'm fighting battles, I'm called Svois. When I do this, I'm called, you know, Hashem said, my name, it depends what I'm doing. Because the names of Hashem refer to the way Hashem is identifying with punishment. When Hashem punishes, it's the name of Elokim. When Hashem is limiting, like at the beginning of creation, Hashem is limiting His infinite power, Elokim is the name of creation because it's the name of limitation. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you want to know my name? It's not me. What do you want to know my name for? So Hashem saying, Eya Asher Eya, I will be with you. It's even, so to speak, a deeper level than the name. What do you need a name for when you have the essence of Hashem with you? Ime Anechi Betzara. Hashem says, Anechi, the level of Anechi is with you in the problems. Anechi is I. We can be learned many times. I, Anechi, is Hashem higher than name. Hashem higher than identification with world. The way Hashem is by Himself is the level of Anechi. So Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, the Jews want to know my name. There's something deeper than my name. Yeah, I am who I am with the Jewish people. What do you need to know my name for? Yeah. No, it means that the lifeline of the neshama coming into the body is with two names instead of one. Just like if you have a name, David is three letters. Okay? And Avram is five letters. Right? So some relationship of the neshama and the guf comes in through three letters. Three vessels, so to speak. And Avram, let's say, is five letters, so it's a longer... Whatever. If you have five names, some people have four or five names, right. So the Hashpa goes through all the five names. Huh? Is that better or worse? Is that a question of better or worse? It's not a guy that has five names is less power because it's spread out, and then, you know, it doesn't work like that. Whatever. More Mishnah is to learn. Yeah, because if the name reveals the essence, a name, and this is in the Latin, in Chassidus, it's discussed in the Friedrich Rebbe's Chassidus, and Rebbe Rashab's Chassidus, it's a lot of issues discussed in Chassidus, the difference between light and name. Revelation, or a name. When you see light, right? You look outside and see light, you're going to know right away if it's sunlight, moonlight, candlelight, electric light. You're going to know right away what the source is, even if you don't see the source. Light reveals the source. When you hear somebody's name, do you know anything about the person? No. It doesn't reveal anything about the person. Right? So which one's better? Seemingly light reveals the source and name doesn't, right? Yet, when somebody faints, what do? You call the name. What happens when you call the name? They turn to you. Or even if they don't faint. If somebody's looking the other way and you call the name, Yankel, yeah? And he turns around to you, by calling his name, he got the whole essence of the person. Yankel doesn't reveal who the person is. But when you call him Yankel, the whole person turns to you. And sometimes, even if he's fainting, and you call his name, he'll wake up. Right? So, a name has a uniqueness that you get the whole essence of the person from the name. And from the other side, though, the name does not reveal the essence of the person. You can get the essence, but you don't reveal the essence. Rav Meir in the Gemara says, Rav Meir, Medayik Bishma, Rav Meir knew your whole life story from your name. Personality, everything. The Gemara tells a story that a student came to Rav Meir. So Rav Meir says, what's your name? I forgot what the name was. Kira, something like that. Rav Meir said, what's your name? So after the guy said to Rav Meir's name, Rav Meir called in the student and says, watch, be careful, this guy. You know, watch him. So the guy, the student said to Rav Meir, he's such a wonderful guy. Rav Meir said, listen to me, watch him. Anyway, the Gemara tells the story, they were once in the mikveh, in the bathhouse, and he stole all their clothes and checked out. Okay, so they came back to Rav Meir and he said, Rav Meir, how did you know? Obviously you were right. He said, I just told by his name, what his name meant. That's what the Rebbe explains. Every person that has the name Reuven, yeah, has something in common. Every person that has the name Shimon has something in common. Now, one Reuven may be a tzaddik and the other Reuven may be a rasha, you know, whatever. But the fact that the name is Reuven and this is the lifeline from the neshama into the body, yeah, this is a connection that all the Reuvens have, all the Shimons have, all the Levis have, all the Avrams, Yitzchaks, they all have something in common. From the fact that they have the same name. So. What? We're not called B'nai Avram, we're called B'nai Yisrael. What is the Rebbe saying? Kuntus in Yonishul Teres HaChsidus, that why was the Baal Shem Tov's name Yisrael? Because the Jews at the time of the Baal Shem Tov were fainting. They were Ruchnius and Gashmius. They were fainting. So Hashem sent down a Neshama called Yisrael to wake them up from their sleep. Because when somebody faints, you call the name, they wake up. Okay, so he says, so Meshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, why are you mixing in other problems? So Hashem said, you know what, you're right. He says, in fact, in Rashi it says, it's not that Meshe Rabbeinu understood better than God, that, you know, it's enough to deal with now. But Hashem is telling it to Meshe Rabbeinu, I just want you to know that whenever there'll be problems with the Jewish people, I'm going to be with them. Okay, V'yomer Eid Elokim al Moshe, Hashem said again to Moshe, Ki Seimei al Bnei Yisrael, this is what you should tell the Yidden. This is what you should tell the Bnei Yisrael. Hashem Elokei Aviseichem, the God of your fathers, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov. And he mentions all three, because again, each one had their own uniqueness. The Shlachani Aleichem, he's sending me to you. Zeshmi Le'elam, this is my name, Le'elam forever. And if you notice, Rashi says, the word Elam is without a Vav. Why? So Rashi explains, because I'm not going to be read the way I'm written. Hashem's name is written Yudke Vavke. But we don't pronounce it the way the vowels would be under Yudke Vavke. We pronounce it Ad Hashem. So there's the way Hashem's name is written, there's the way Hashem's name is pronounced. And it's two different things. V'zeh zichri, and this is my remembrance, the der for all generations, how Hashem should be called. The Baal HaTurim says, the Ramban says, just one thing, the Ramban says, what does it mean, v'zeh zichri l'der der, what is the this? What is this that's my remembrance for all generations? So the Ramban learns that goes back to Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. The Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, anytime there's a problem and the Jews will mention Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, God will help them. And that's why when we say Slichas, you know, and all the fast days and all that, we always, or in Shmonesri for that matter, we always mention Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Why? Because Hashem made a promise to Moshe Rabbeinu, v'zeh zichri l'dor dor, this is what remembers me for all generations when you mention the name of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. We always do, because we can always tell Hashem Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Never. The merits of the forefathers can never be used up. Because Hashem swore, thank you, Hashem swore to them that that's the way it's going to be. So nothing bad can happen over there. Now another thing he says as follows. He brings on also from the Ramban. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu says in the Medrash as follows. Before, when Hashem met Moshe Rabbeinu, at the beginning, Hashem says, here, in Pasuk Vav, in Paragimel, in Pasuk 6 of Paragimel, it says, Vayem Hashem said to him, Anechi Elokei Avicha, I'm the God of your father Amram. Remember, we told him that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that your father passed away. And then he says, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Now, Hashem is saying, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And he's not saying Amram again. So the question is, Moshe Rabbeinu thought, maybe there's a chet in the kever. Why did you mention my father's name at the beginning, when I met you, and now you're not mentioning Amram's name? So Hashem said to him, no. At the beginning, I wanted you to make you happy. You should feel good that your father Amram is like the Ovis. Okay, because the Shekhinah cannot rest on somebody who's in sad, somebody who's in pain. But the truth is, Hashem said, the fact is, there's only three Ovis. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that's it. And as the Medrash says, initially Hashem said, I needed you to rest the Shekhinah upon you. You had to be besimcha, so I had to mention your father's name together with the Ovis, that you should get into a good mood. But the reality of it, Hashem says, is, bottom line is, that there's only three Ovis, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and that's it. Not Amram, not, you know, none of them. Okay, just start the next pasuk. He says, Lech v'asavta ziknei Yisrael, she gathered the elders of the Jews. Now Rashi says right away, what do you mean elders? 65 and older, 70 and older? So Rashi says, that's not what it means over here. Because that would be impossible to gather the elders of 600,000 Jews. And you know, if I tell me, you know, 65 to 7, what age? Ziknei Yisrael is Zeshekana Chachma. He says, go gather the Skenim that were designated for learning Torah. The people that were designated for learning Torah, those are the people Hashem said you should gather. V'amart Aleim, you should say to them the following. Hashem Elokei Aviseichem Nira Elai, the God of your father appeared to me. Elokei Avram Yitzchak V'Yakiv Leimer, Pokei Pokadeti Yashem, the God is remembering you. V'asa'asi Lachem B'Misraim, what was done to you in Egypt. And very briefly, when the Jews heard that Moshe Rabbeinu is coming with this announcement, the Jews didn't know if this guy's real or not. So they went to the living matriarch of the Jewish people, who was Sarach Bas Asher. She was the generation, the only one left from the first generation. So they went to Sarach Bas Asher and said, this guy is coming to us and saying, you know, the time of redemption and take the Jews out. So Sarach Bas Asher said to them, what language did he use? I mean, what words did he use when he said it? So they said, what Hashem said to here, Pokeit Pokadati. So when Sarach Bas Asher heard that Moshe Rabbeinu said Pokeit Pokadati, she said, he's right. He's the guy. Why? Because Yosef said to the Jews, Pokeit Yifkeit Elokim Eschem. Pokeit Yifkeit, the double expression. So when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Pokeit Pokadati, she knew it was real. Okay.